You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. My name is Daniel Harms. You can find me on Twitter at InHarmsWay19. And today I have with me another astronaut. Finally got him on the pod and able to have some interaction finally on this fantasy space. You guys know him as Matt FF Dynasty on Twitter. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really good, Dan. Like you said, it's long overdue. We've been talking about doing this, and even just coming on the Astronauts podcast, mm-hmm. I've been with these like 2.5 years now, never even been on, even when Jetpack and Rich used to do it, never had me on. So I'm glad that you finally been able to get me on, man. I'm looking forward
just,
to it.
Just a massive missed opportunity from them. Well, I'd love to get exactly. you on here.
I've just been saving myself for you, Holmes. That's all it was, man.
That's fine. Fine with me. It works out. I'll get the better guests on here anyway. So this should be a lot of fun. So today we're going to play a little bit of game I like to call bust or must. Right now we're getting into redraft season, and for just about everybody, they're talking about people that they expect to bust at their ADPs. And I want to really just kind of give everyone an understanding of what I qualify as a bust, because everyone's going to have different opinions. You're probably going to have a different opinion, but everyone has their own identity and identify busts differently. So for me, when I'm talking about a player busting at their ADP, I expect 5 or more positions behind where they're being drafted. That's what I qualify as a bust. What do you qualify as that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on how I have it. I'd probably say 6, but like you said, not too much in it. So if, like I say, at the top, and I think as well at the top end, so when you're talking about the guys that are taken, say, wide receiver 1 through 6, I feel like you have less room for maneuver, mm-hmm. whereas when you move down maybe to the wide receiver 2s, you can maybe give them a little bit more wiggle room. But yeah, I'm fully with you. I think around 6 spots, so that's about what I'd say as well.
Yeah, like when I was first starting to get into this, I always thought in my head, I envisioned a bust being like someone who's 10 plus spots, like they're not even in the same realm. And that's not really what it is, because really if you take a player, like say you draft somebody inside the top 5 and they fit like the overall, top 5 overall, top 6 overall, and they finish in the top 5 in their respective fields, I think that's still a win for you. You're still getting the points that you expect. So that's not necessarily a bust. So let's go ahead and talk down from quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, a little bit of some in-depth players that everyone really does expect to bust at their ADPs this year. Right now, you're going based off of Fantasy Pros consensus ADPs. We have Patrick Mahomes as the QB2 in redraft. And personally, I cover the Chiefs as my actual like other football gig, so I'll have my opinions for the last. But how do you feel about Patrick Mahomes this year, specifically as the quarterback 2 in redraft?
Well, I mean, talk about throwing me into the lines then. Obviously, talk about your Chiefs. I feel like I could only really answer in one way with this one, but I think I'm going to be with you. I think it's a must for me. Even Patrick Mahomes has obviously lost his top weapon in Tyreek Hill, but I feel like what the Chiefs are doing, obviously drafting Sky Moore, bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster, they've still got Travis Kelce there, who we know is an absolute beast at the tight end position. So all in all, and obviously not even mentioning the fact that Patrick Mahomes arguably the best quarterback in the league. So yeah, I still feel for me, it is a must draft, even at QB2. Like you said, I feel bust. We're talking 5 or 6 spots below. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, I have no fear that Patrick Mahomes is going to be, well, he's not going to be outside of QB1. That is a fact. And I feel like he's still a really solid mid-range QB1 at absolute worst, given the weapons that he has, obviously the Chiefs offense, how high powered it is, how often they throw the ball. Yeah, I feel like he's still a must, even at that QB2 spot.
You know, one of the bigger things I think that people look at last year is the stretch he had to start the season. And as someone who's gotten in depth with press conferences and listening to Andy Reid talk about the last line of defense defenses had against Patrick Mahomes was throwing out a too high defense. And it took him a little while to adjust. Obviously, you have to, for a guy who wants to throw the ball down the field and really get those big plays, he had to adjust to dinking and dunking down the field. You know, Tom Brady gets it all the time. That's all he does. He just gets the ball out down quick. Now he's in Tampa and he has a little bit of a different way to do that. But now Mahomes is taking into that year where he's going to expect that he's been studying it all offseason. You know, he was 5th in points per game last year at 21.3. And again, he had 31 drop passes last year. I think it was like 5th most in the NFL or 3rd most in the NFL. It was up there. So I think that the group they have around them this year is going to be a little bit different. They're not going to, you know, I'm hoping they're not going to drop the ball as much as they did last year. So I think that really at QB2, we're talking about a guy who still has QB1 overall in his relative range of outcomes, it's going to be hard to unseat Josh Allen in that because of his rushing ability. But still, we're talking about a quarterback that's, like you said, the best in the NFL. So for me, it definitely is a must. And I've seen a lot of talk about him busting at his ADP. But again, he finishes quarterback 5 or quarterback 6. I'm pretty much okay with that because you're not getting him anywhere else. So it's really just kind of a one-off in that department. And now we're going to talk about someone who's been taking the NFL by storm, specifically with his road to the Super Bowl last year. Joe Burrow is right now quarterback 6 overall in their consensus rankings. For me, this is an interesting topic of discussion because I think last year, Joe Burrow really kind of burst onto the scene, obviously having his injury-shortened rookie season. He comes back and really just starts meshing again with Jamar Chase. So what do you think about Joe Burrow's ADP right now? And do you really feel about his potential to bust in this situation?
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on this one. I feel like the range that he's currently at, QB6, I feel like that's about where he should be. I've got him at QB7, so as I say, mm-hmm. not miles away from where he's currently ranked on Fantasy Pros. But I think with Joe Burrow, obviously what he did last year, like you mentioned, it was unbelievable. The fact that he came back from that season and injury and what he was able to do, leading the Bengals right through to the Super Bowl, it was an absolutely incredible season. The fact that, like you talked about, the connection that he showed with Jamar Chase, we knew that was there from the time mm-hmm. at LSU. The fact that Chase came into the NFL and was able to do what he did straight away was, again, unbelievable. So as a whole, this Bengals offense, it's hard not to be excited by it. As I say, we saw it last year. Personally, I think there might be a little bit of regression from what mm-hmm. we saw from Joe Burrow. What he did, again, it was unreal, and I just find it hard to believe that he can maintain that kind of performance another year in a row. But as I say, I can't see him being a bust. I don't see him being outside the QB1 range. But like you mentioned with Patrick Mahomes, we know he has that QB1 overall potential in him. I feel like Joe Burrow doesn't quite have mm-hmm. that from what he did last year. I feel like that's probably the ceiling that we're going to get from Joe Burrow. But as I say, it's hard not to be excited by the Bengals offense, Jamar Chase, that connection that they have, T. Higgins, what he's shown. Even Joe Mixon, maybe finally get him used in the passing game. Right. I mean, I feel like we say it every year. We'd love to see Joe Mixon used a little bit more in the passing game. If that was to happen, then obviously that's going to be another positive for Joe Burrow. But yeah, as I say, I'm not super excited by Joe Burrow, but again, it's hard not to feel he's a rock solid QB1.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think he's going to be like a bust, but for me, when you look at his metrics and his advanced metrics and his efficiency metrics, like, he was among the most accurate passers, not only in accuracy, but deep ball accuracy, under pressure accuracy, deep ball catchable pass rate, and accuracy rating versus man. All of these things he was top 3 in the NFL at, which, I mean, yes, that's great, but when you're that efficient, that accurate at just about every level of the field for a full season, you're going to get some regression in those areas. I think that the way he plays, specifically as it pertains to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, he trusts those guys a lot. I got no issues with that. Trust your guys. But he puts them in situations which aren't necessarily the most friendly to receivers all over the NFL. Like, he threw it into triple coverage to T. Higgins multiple times last year, and he happened to come down with those balls. So I think you're going to see some of those turn into maybe tip passes, some interceptions. So I do think regression's in for him this year. Like, I want to say he's going to be a bust, but I can't really do that because of the weaponry, the improvement of the offensive line are all things that are going to bode well for Joe Burrow. And there is obviously the wrench that is Zach Taylor. Is he going to continue to run the ball more and maybe do some things that we're not anticipating with Joe Burrow? But I mean, in dire situations, they showed last year that, you know, this is a offense led by Joe Burrow. He's going to make those decisions. So I trust that to get him as a QB1 this season. Maybe points per game is where he maybe comes down closer to that bust potential, but we'll really kind of see how that plays out. So, you know, I want to say bust, but again, I don't really.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting on the fence here, aren't we, Arms? We've not really come up with an answer, have we? We've both said kind of.
Yeah, like, bust, it's tough.
Yeah,
I don't see a world where he finishes as a QB2. Maybe points per game. Yeah. Maybe that's something he ends up being as a QB2. But right now, I mean, barring injury, he's going to still be a QB1. So he's on that fence for me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Now, the last guy we're going to talk about at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy who's gone over even more overhaul on his offense than Patrick Mahomes has, losing Tyreek Hill, you know, losing Davante Adams, the best receiver in the NFL, losing MVS, who is not, you know, a great receiver. But again, he's been dealing with, he a lot of overturn. You're going to have Sammy Watkins injured, two rookies in the offense. Alan Lazard now becomes your number one. Like, what do we see as Aaron Rodgers is currently being drafted as QB 11? His range of outcomes seems like the most in flux that they've been throughout his entire career.
Yeah, no, I'm fully in agreement with you. Obviously, the fact that he's lost Devontae Adams is, you can't say that it's not a massive impact on Aaron Rodgers, because it is. We know what an absolute dominant wide receiver Devontae Adams has been with Aaron Rodgers. And now we're going to have a season seeing what Rodgers can do without that. But like you mentioned, they've not really surrounded him with any weapons to really help him achieve his current ADP. Like it talks about, they brought in a couple of rookies. Obviously, Romeo Doubs getting a lot of hype right now in the offseason. But I mean, When we're talking about the off season and training camp, it's a whole different ball game to when it comes to actual regular season NFL games. So it's hard to be too confident in somebody like that coming in. And as well, we know that Aaron Rodgers, if rookies aren't catching those balls, we know that Aaron Rodgers tends to struggle to find trust in those rookies. So it's hard to really pin down a player that you think is going to be that guy for Aaron Rodgers outside of maybe Alan Lazard. I mean, Randall Cobb's still there. Maybe if we rewind the clock and Cobb and Rodgers get that connection back. But I think you absolutely nailed it at the start. There's such a massive range of outcomes with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I feel like I want to say he's going to be a bust, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers, when was the last time he finished outside of a QB1 when he played a full season? I mean, we're talking 15 years ago and he's been a quarterback one every year. So in my heart I want to say bust, but I just feel like it's Aaron Rodgers we're talking about here. I feel like he's QB 11, that's the bottom end of a QB1. I still think I'm gonna say must, even though there's no weapons there. Just that I'm putting it all down to the talent. I mean, I know somebody's got to catch the ball. Maybe Aaron Jones, I feel like it's going to be a lot more. You spoke about like what Tom Brady does, a little bit more dink and dunk, not going as much deep ball. We know that Aaron Jones there in the backfield is going to be a big help. We know how good he is in the receiving game. I'm still going to say that I think he is a must, even though I'm not super excited. I don't think we've got that ceiling that we've come to be used to with Aaron Rodgers. But I think I'm going to say must.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give some hot fire for everybody. I think he's going to be a bust this year. Ooh. And not only because I think his touchdown numbers are going to come down. He threw 37 touchdowns last year. I think his interceptions are going up. He only threw four last year. When you have the trust in your guys around you to make plays and get into those soft spots and zones, then he's going to be able to get the ball out quickly where he needs to. I think that's going to maybe speed up his timing, maybe holds on the ball a little bit more this year. Also, David Bakhtiari not going to play. We don't know what's going to happen with his left tackle. Like, their offensive line could end up being in some flux this year too. And as you get older, and I think that Aaron Rodgers has shown, his mobility is still there at times, but it's definitely taking a step back. He's not always getting out and trying to run the ball like he used to get first downs. He was fourth among starters in completion percentage versus zone last year with 79%, which I think that's going to come down this year, because you're going to probably be playing guys like Sammy Watkins. We know Sammy Watkins is going to get hurt. That's going to thrust less experienced guys, Amari Rodgers, Romeo Doubs, into these situations where they don't necessarily know where they're supposed to be on the field all the time. So I know that it's not what everyone wants to hear, but I think there's a world where he finishes in, like, still a top 20 quarterback, but we're talking about QB 17, QB 18, because those weapons just aren't there, especially when I think they're going to run the ball a ton. Like, you're going to see Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon get a huge bulk of this offense. So I'm gonna be against the grain here, most people. I'm gonna say Aaron Rodgers is a bust this year at his current ADP now. I know no one wants to hear it. I know. One wants to.
Now, it was going so well, Holmes. I mean, we was in agreement, and now
it's bound to happen though. It's bound to happen. I think I love Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong here. Like, I know you're a fan of the show. I know you listen every single time we have one, but I don't believe in you this year, man. I don't. Now we're going to move on to running back. And this is a guy who really fell in love. The fantasy football community has fallen in love with, not only because he's been a great dual threat for them, but he's gotten involved in the fantasy community consistently on shows and breaking all that stuff down with them. And that's cool to see players getting involved in fantasy community. Austin Eckler right now is the RB3 in the consensus PPR. This is now PPR. Running back three. I'm gonna give you the bulk of this, because I have lots to say about Austin Eckler. So how do you feel about Austin Eckler this year currently as RB3?
I mean, I can tell it in the tone of your voice there, Harms, that you've got a few things to say about Eckler. But I feel like the vibe that I'm getting from you, I think I'm probably with you. I feel like it's a bust for me, I think, at RB3. As much as I absolutely love Austin Eckley, you mm-hmm. spoke about the fact that he's so involved in the fantasy community. It's obviously cool that he's involved, but as well, it's kind of gives you that little bit of comfort knowing that he's actually thinking about fantasy when he's on the field. He's probably yeah. thinking, yeah, that's got yeah. me a few more points in fantasy. And that's, I mean, that's great for us in terms of fantasy, knowing that your player's thinking like that. But yeah, I mean, RB3, we're right at the ceiling. I mean, he finished RB2 last year. I'd say that was the ideal season for Austin Eckley. And I was right there getting excited by Austin Eckley in the preseason last year. And I'm glad to see that he was able to return to that kind of level of form. There's no denying we absolutely love that LA Chargers offense. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert, what he's been able to do coming in as such a young quarterback and proving a lot of people wrong with what he's been able to do in fantasy and help support Austin Eckler. It's been fantastic. But yeah, I think I'm going to be agreeing with you. I feel like I know what you're going to say, Harm. So I think I'm going to agree that he's a bust RB3. Obviously, utilized a lot in the passing game. But I just feel like the fact that they're bringing in Isaiah Spiller every year, that they seem to be bringing in these running backs that, you know, it's there to spell Eckler, because we know that he's only a small guy. I mean, what we're talking, 5'8", around 200 pounds. So he's not the biggest of running backs. And knowing what running backs mm-hmm. have to do in the NFL, what a grueling position it is, you're always running that risk of injury with somebody like Austin Eckler. And I just feel like we're getting hints every year that they're looking to maybe lessen that workload in the rough way anyway, in between the tackles. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to maybe favor him more in that receiving game. But Austin Eckler's become a beast because he has been that workhorse. And I just feel like the Chargers, they're now protecting that asset that they've got in Eckler and maybe winding down the workload. So, yeah, I think I'm going to say bust. I still think he is going to be an RB1 in fantasy, especially in PPR leagues. Mm-hmm. But you do run that risk of injury as well with Eckler.
Yeah, I think points per game, you're going to see him probably go up in the rankings there. But in terms of finishing overall, like he's a bust for me. He even could be a bust in PPR, or excuse me, in points per game, because not only is the workload coming down, the Chargers have been telling us for years, like, they don't want Austin Eckler doing everything. They've had mm-hmm. to, because guys that they drafted haven't worked out. They just go back: Justin Jackson, Larry Roundtree, Joshua Kelly, Isaiah Spiller. The last like 3 or 4 years, those are all guys they've drafted to keep behind and try to get workload off of Austin Eckler. And last year, he was second in routes per game at 25 a game. That's going to come down. I think you have a guy in Isaiah Spiller that can run some of those routes and give him some time to just kind of relax and not have to be. We know running backs take a brunt of punishment year after year after year. And after the workload he had last year, it doesn't seem realistic that the Chargers are going to be like, yeah, go ahead, just keep doing that. We want to keep this offense at this high level. You do that by keeping everybody fresh. And Austin Eckler, being as dangerous he is, just, you know, he got 13 carries a game, 6 targets per game last year. Like, that's going to probably come down a little bit, at least definitely in the carries per game. He's going to be involved in the passing game. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, they're going to be funneling through Justin Herbert. I think that they want to get the ball downfield a little bit more. That's going to take away a little bit from him. But again, it's going to be about the running backs in that committee, which I think it's going to be. So yeah, he's a bust for me. 100%. All right. Now the next guy is another one that, you know, this is going to be an interesting one, because Najee Harris is currently being drafted as the RB5. And everyone talks about the quarterback upgrade, quote unquote upgrade in Pittsburgh. And the offensive line is still bad. Like, I think it might be worse than it was last year. They didn't invest anything into it. And we're still talking about a team that is going to predominantly be, you know, obviously run first, defense heavy, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. Like, who are we talking about here? We knew that Ben Roethlisberger was going to check down the ball to Najee Harris whenever he could. So how do you feel about Najee Harris this year?
Yeah, now, again, I'm sensing the tone here. I think I'm with you, Harms. It's a bust for me, I think, with Najee Harris. Again, what he did as a rookie coming in was fantastic, but when you look deep down at it, a lot of that was purely down to volume. I mean, it's a double-edged sword when it comes to fantasy and volume. Obviously, as fantasy players, we want them running backs to have as much volume as possible, but I just feel like he had a ridiculous amount. What was it? Over 300 carries, nearly 100 targets. Yep. I mean, that is a real hefty workload. And I mean, it wasn't even like they were taking him off when he wasn't being used. He was basically taking all the snaps at running back, even everything. He was doing it all. So, I mean, obviously it's great that he's getting that kind of workload, but the fact that he then I just can't get behind him having that kind of workload again. And the fact that it wasn't incredible with, I mean, if you're getting that kind of workload, I want to see numbers that are never been seen before in fantasy from your running backs. I'm talking like Christian McCaffrey kind of numbers. But we didn't really see that. Obviously, it was great last year. But again, I just feel a lot of that was down to volume. And I'm concerned that is Matt going to see a step back in that? You've talked about the upgrade at quarterback. I mean, first of all, how crazy to say that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be an upgrade at quarterback. I never thought I'd be saying those words. But I feel like he's going to lose some of those targets that he got last year. I feel like they could maybe scale down the workload a little bit. I've even believed we've seen reports this offseason that they're maybe looking to scale down that workload. So, I feel like when you're talking about a guy that's so reliant on volume, if there is even rumours that he could see a decrease in those kind of opportunities, I think it has to be a bust. Again, I feel like he could be a low-end RB1, high-end RB2, but RB5 feels a little too rich for me.
Yeah, let's just talk about a little bit of numbers here. Let's assume, for example, that you cut the targets in half, basically. So you get 50 targets, which is a good workload for a lot of running backs, you know, in the NFL. That's going to take at least 25 plus points, assuming you don't catch a bunch of those touches. Last year, he was RB3 total. Oh, the RB3 overall. He was RB18 in points per game. That's how up and down it was for Najee Harris last year. It was inconsistent. A lot of it had to do with these big games that he would get from just check down. He also scored 10 touchdowns last year, 7 rushing and 3 receiving. I don't think that this offense can give him that with as bad as Ben Roethlisberger was. You know, as bad as he was, he knew exactly where the ball needed to go. That's why the ball came out so quickly. That's why he was able to catch so many passes. You tell me Mr. Trubisky is going to know exactly where to go with the ball when he catches it and the defense shifts it a safety alignment. He's going to kind of hold the ball. Then he's going to run the ball. He's not going to give the ball to Najee Harris. So, again, I talked about the offensive line. I don't think it's going to be very good. He was an inefficient running back, 3.9 yards a carry last year, but he was fifth in evaded tackles per game, 6.2. I'm more of a bust with him because it comes down to the points per game. You can be a consistently good running back and still have those spike weeks, but at the end of the day, when we're taking away touches from you and you have guys behind you, Jaylen Warren, Anthony McFarland, who provide a spark, speed, those kind of things that you're looking for with a running back to help give him some rest. To me, they're going to lean more to trying to get Najee Harris off the field at times, really use more of a change of pace back. And that just means that he's not going to finish where he did last year. So right now, RB5 is too rich for me. And I'm just, especially even, he could be an RB2 this year. Like, that's a realistic expectation for that offense. So yeah, definitely, I'm definitely going bust with him. Now, this is a fun one because this is a dynamic that's been changing. It's been ever changing for the last, pretty much every week over the last 2 months. Javonte Williams is currently RB11. We had the benefit of hearing Melvin Gordon talk about the Broncos situation and what they want to do with him. So right now, I think both of us are going to say the same thing, but I'll let everybody know he's currently going as RB11. And go, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I actually did a piece with Player Profile and their draft guide, and I spoke about Javonte Williams, and I believe his ADP a month or so ago was around RB14, and I felt like that was kind of like, I'll take that. It's pretty good, but obviously gone up to RB11. But I feel like Melvin Gordon, like you said, he's come out, and I feel like he's put a lot of comfort in our hands, because if the guy that you're competing for touches with comes out and says, I feel like Vontae's going to, they want him to be that guy, then that's music to your ears when you play fantasy. So obviously we know last year this was pretty much a 50-50 split between the two of them. Both really productive. I mean, Melvin Gordon put up some really solid numbers for fantasy, and Javonte Williams again, really solid. Didn't get the ceiling that we was all hoping for when the Broncos selected him, because obviously of that timeshare. But like you said, it's been a roller coaster. Gordon coming back, and we were all out again on Javonte Williams, but the fact that Gordon's come in and said that they're kind of looking at Vontae being that guy over there in Denver's now made me feel good about Javonte Williams, that RB11 price that you've got to pay in your drafts. I feel like that's solid because he is one of the best young running backs in the NFL. He showed that last year, even sharing time with Melvin Gordon. So at RB11, I think the upside's there with somebody like like Javonte Williams, obviously Russell Wilson coming in as well to Denver's going to only improve this offense. You feel that could be a concern because they've now actually got an able quarterback. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be great for Javonte Williams. Defenses, they're not going to be able to load the box and put a lot of pressure on Javonte Williams now that Russell Wilson's there. So yeah, I'm going to say must for Javonte Williams and RB 11.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at their finishes last year. Javonte was RB 17 overall. Mm-hmm. Melvin Gordon was RB 20. You look at points per game, and Melvin Ingram inched him out RB 24 at 12.2. Javonte had 12.1. Like, they were pretty similar guys. Yeah. Everyone's thinking about, okay, finally, Javonte has the role. He has all of that production now. You think he could have been RB 1 last year with the point total that they both had together. So he gets all this stuff. They bring back Melvin Gordon, and you know, everyone's like, really? Really? Like, why do you have to do this to us? We just want the guy who was fourth in yards after contact per attempt last year, 3.42 yards after contact last year, which was, you know, fourth in the NFL. That's over all players that had 50% of 332 rushes. So there's only like 24 running backs in the NFL that even qualified for that. He was one of those guys. Eighth in juke rate, 10th in evaded tackles per game. He's got all of the makings of being a true three-down workhorse. And then the Broncos said, hey, guess what? We're going to go ahead and throw another wrench in there. But again, we've seen this all work out beautifully. He, like I said, being RB 17 last year, I think he's going to take another step forward this year where he could even be a top six running back in the NFL in terms of fantasy production, points per game. He could take a huge step forward as well. I think that Melvin is there to spell him. Yeah. I think that's the vibe that I've gotten. I even just traded for Javonte Williams in our fantasy league with Jetpack. You know, I gave up Trey Lance and got some things back. So I'm interested to see how this ends up turning out, but I'm excited because I think Javonte is going to be one of the best running backs for fantasy purposes this year in the NFL. So it is 100% a must for me. And he could even easily outproduce the RB11 ADP, like a guy who could help you win your league at that ADP. So go get him while it's low because it's probably going to start ramping up there a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's switch over to the wide receiver part here. Get a little in-depth about Mike Evans currently going as wide receiver 9. And we have some interesting things going on in Tampa Bay right now. Tom Brady just says, I don't want to finish camp. And he just takes off. Their offensive line dealing with injuries. They bring in Julio Jones. You know, Chris Godwin is coming back, but we don't know if he's going to be healthy. They bring in Russell Gage. Like, what's going on in Tampa Bay? Like, what do we think Mike Evans can actually realistically get there at right now at wide receiver 9? What is it for you?
Well, I mean, I'll start by saying I haven't got a clue what's happened over in Tampa. Like you said, it's absolutely crazy. No, nobody knows what's going on. But as far as Mike Evans goes, I mean, it's hard. I feel like I want to say bust, but I mean, I'm talking about the guy that you know is going to get 1,000 yards. You know he's going to get those touchdowns. So it feels really tough for me to say that Mike Evans is going to be a bust. But I feel like that wide receiver nine, I feel that's before we even knew what was happening with Chris Godwin. I feel like that kind of prices because people weren't expecting Chris Godwin to come back. Obviously, Julio Jones has only just been added. Behind Mike Evans, it was basically nobody. So I feel like that ADP has risen all offseason because we feel like, well, he's going to be the guy that Tom Brady is going to be passing to at least for the early part of the season. But with Chris Godwin making his comeback, it looks like he could be ready for week one. And the fact that they brought in Julio Jones, I mean, while I'm not saying it, he's going to be the old Julio Jones that we've all come to know and love, I still feel like he's going to be a solid wide receiver 3 on this offense. And I mean, the fact that you've got a future Hall of Famer being your wide receiver 3, it's great for Tampa Bay and what they've got over there. So I feel like Mike Evans, I'm going to say bust. It feels crazy because we know what he can do. We know he's so consistent, but I'm going to say bust because I just feel like Chris Godwin, he's probably the guy that I'd say must if I was picking anybody out of this offense. I feel like Chris Godwin, we know Tom Brady, we know that love for the slot wide receiver. We know that him and Chris Godwin formed a real good partnership last year. It was a shame to see him go down injured. I'm going to say bust for Mike Evans.
Oh, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. Last year, he was wide receiver 9. Like, he finished as wide receiver 9 last year. So while there's an argument to be made that he's being drafted at his ceiling, I think that most things that we've seen about Mike Evans, tend to come true. He was fifth in average depth of target last year at 13.6 yards. That's what he does. He goes down the field. He wins 50-50 balls. He just kind of gets open. Tom Brady has that trust in him. He caught 14 touchdowns last year. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? Like, it seems like
even for Mike Evans, that's a lot.
It seems like an unattainable amount of touchdowns. Like, that man just continuously finds ways to score massive amounts of touchdowns. Like, let's talk about the times he's finished at double-digit touchdowns in his career. 12 in 2014, 12 in 2016. Then you have the last two seasons with Tom Brady, 13 and 14. I think that's probably going to happen still, because he had 1,006 yards in 2020, 1,035 last year. Like, this seems to be what he does. And I personally don't think that Chris Godwin's going to be up to snuff the first few weeks of the season. We're going to obviously see how he does. Julio Jones, while I don't think he's dust, isn't exactly what he used to be in make or break situations. I think the team that desperately is going to be needing to get the ball out quickly, that might impact his average depth of target a little bit. But Mike Evans is much more than a deep receiver. He can run routes. I think people kind of forget that he can do that. So for me, he's a must. I am taking Mike Evans. I think he has top 10 potential. I think he's going to finish in the top 10 regardless. I believe that 100%, especially because I think he's going to get double-digit touchdowns again. And when you do that, you give yourself just a great chance to continuously finish inside the top 10. That's just what he does. Catch touchdowns, go for 1,000 yards. Mike Evans in a nutshell. Underrated Hall of Fame wide receiver, honestly. I really think it at this point.
Yeah.
All right. This one, I've been very back and forth with. Because the drop-off of QB play, no matter what he says, is astronomical. You go from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. And right now, Davante Adams is still being drafted as wide receiver 4. Okay? Lay it on me. Lay it on me, Matt. Well, what do you got?
I'm saying bust. This is probably the one out of all the guys that we're going to talk about and I've spoke about, this is the one I feel confident in saying I'm going to say bust on Davante Adams. You, I think you've nailed the first key point is, I mean, we're talking about a guy going from one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to Derek Carr. I mean, I'm not hating on Derek Carr. He's been a really solid quarterback. In fantasy, he's been a real solid quarterback. But he doesn't have that elite ceiling that somebody like Tom Brady has. I mean, just talking about Derek Carr, he's that QB2 that you feel safe as houses. I mean, he's a QB2, but doesn't have that upside. Obviously, great for him now getting Davante Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But we're talking about the ADP as well, wide receiver 4. I mean, that's roughly what his ADP has been for the last few years with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, top 2, 3, 4 wide receiver in fantasy. So the fact that he's still maintained that kind of value, despite the fact that he's going over to the Raiders and then Derek Carr. And then we're not even going to mention the fact that Darren Waller's over there. I mean, I've never been the biggest Darren Waller guy, but over at Tampa Bay, Davante Adams, you know, he was the guy over there with the Packers. Whereas now going to the Raiders, I feel like Waller's going to be a big part of that. We know that the connection there between Waller and Carr, and we know this connection between Carr and Adams from the time at college together, but Darren Waller's been a huge part for Derek Carr these past couple of years in the NFL, and I just can't see him shying away from that connection that they've built up. They're going to want to get Davante Adams involved, but I just feel like he does not have that ceiling that we've seen while he's been at the Packers, being that wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2 overall in fantasy over the last couple of years. I can't see it myself, Harms. I feel like he's definitely the one that I'm going to be fully confident in saying I think this is going to be a bust.
That's a little surprising that you're fully confident that he's going to get
it. If we're talking 5 spots, Harms, you said 5 spots, wide receiver 9.
No, I get it.
I think low-end wide receiver 1, that's my prediction.
It's definitely in his range of outcomes. There's no doubt about it that he could easily finish outside. He could finish outside the top 10. Like it's realistically there. I'm going to pull up my projections really quick because I currently have Davante Adams projected as a 26% target share, okay? Mm-hmm. I think he's going to command, because Davante Adams does command 26% target share. And the big thing about Adams, for me, not only is his yards per route run 3rd last year at 2.82 yards per route run, he is not somebody that you need to be getting open deep. We've seen it. He can, but he majorly wins in his short and intermediate routes. And that's where I think that Derek Carr is the best in terms of his own skill set. You're bringing in McDaniels, who we've seen them scheme up great offenses for slot receivers. Obviously, people talking about Hunter Renfro taking that. I don't think it's going to be Hunter Renfro. I think Davante Adams is going to be the one that's being schemed up in this offense because he's the best player. He did that with, you know, the Patriots were doing that with Randy Moss. Like, this is the kind of situation that I think is going to unfold. And I actually still have Hunter Renfro as a top 20 receiver in this offense. Okay. I think the volume concentration between Adams, Renfro, and Waller is going to be so much that no one else is going to be able to produce in this offense. It's going to be those three, and then you're going to have the running back. So for me, I have Davante Adams projected as the wide receiver 5 this season. Okay. So for me, he is a must draft at wide receiver 4. And I mean,
you, saying that, Harms, you must be really high on Derek Carr. I mean, if you've got Hunter Renfro in your top 20.
I got a QB 15. So, I mean, where he finishes, but again, it's all about the concentration. You don't have to score a bunch of touchdowns. You have to get a bunch of points, and you have to get a bunch of PPR points. And that's really what this is all about for me, is the concentration. I don't think Derek Carr can't finish inside the top 12. I think he could be a QB 1 this year, but – I have more confidence in Davante Adams to get there than I do Derek Carr. So I like that we're on opposite sides of that because, honestly, the range of outcomes for this offense with a brand new offensive coordinator, a brand new head coach, you know, all of that can really be different. And I think that having two people that have different views is really kind of shows you that there is so much things that can happen, especially with Derek Carr, who is, I think is an underrated quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think he's elite. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'll tell you that much. Those three guys are really going to have fun this year. Yeah. All right. One last wide receiver on the in-depth docket. Wide receiver 6 this year on ADP, Deebo Samuel. Lots been made about Deebo Samuel's role in San Francisco this season. You don't have Jimmy G just giving a bunch of check downs and screen passes. You assume he's not going to have a ton of running the football like he did last year. Obviously, his numbers were bumped a ton with rushing touchdowns. So how do you feel about Deebo Samuel this year?
I mean, it is crazy when it comes to Deebo Samuel because this is a guy that I absolutely loved a couple of years ago. And then obviously there was the injuries. Last year, I was actually high on him, even though people were starting to fade him a little bit. Everyone was getting on that Brandon Ayuk train. So the fact that Deebo showed up last year and was so dominant and did so well was incredible to see. But now I feel like I'm kind of swinging the other way a bit now and kind of going away from Deebo Samuel. Again, there's no denying what he did last year was unbelievable. You touched upon it, the fact that he had Jimmy Garoppolo there throwing him the ball. You feel like you know what you're going to get with somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo, but this year it's completely different. We've just spoke about offenses and not really knowing how it's going to shake out. I feel like we've got that again with the 49ers. Obviously, Trey Lance coming in now, basically a rookie, obviously had a couple of games last year, but we never really got to truly see what Trey Lance is able to do, and now we know he's going to be the full-time starter. I just don't know how this is going to play out in this offense. And now I'm kind of switching more towards Brandon Ayuk being that guy we've seen during training camp. Obviously, all the lovely videos that we get to see on Twitter, all the hype when he's throwing those deep balls to Brandon Ayuk, and we all get super excited by it. It's been a lot of fun seeing that. And I just feel like with Deebo Samuel, there's just a lot of risk there with Deebo Samuel. I mentioned the injuries when he first came into the NFL. He really struggled to stay healthy, so it was great to see him do that last year. But I've got my concerns with Deebo Samuel, how they're going to use him in this offense. You spoke about him in the running game and how he was able to put those numbers in the running game. He said himself he didn't want to be that kind of wide receiver. He wants to be more of the prototypical wide receiver. But was that a ploy just to get paid like a wide receiver rather than a running back? Again, it's something that we're yet to really know. So I just feel at that price range, wide receiver 6, there's a lot of risk there that I feel like people don't really take into account with Deebo Samuel, just going off the fact what he did last year. So I'm going to say bust, not with a massive amount of confidence, but I just think because of the question marks at quarterback, what is his role is going to be like this year, I'm going to say bust.
Yeah, I understand. Don't get me wrong. Brandon Ayuk is a special talent. Both him and Deebo Samuel have that type of ability to take rushes, you know, get a ton of yards out of them, yards after catch kind of guys. They were highlighted with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that everyone talks about Trey Lance getting the ball downfield. Brandon Ayuk shines there. I also think Deebo Samuel shines there, and people don't want to believe it, and because they want Brandon Ayuk to do that, and Juwan Jennings being a bigger body receiver, you know, Danny Gray being inserted, how is he going to affect the deep ball passing? Is he going to take some of those touches? Deebo Samuel only projected for 5% of the rushing market share this year, so I think he's still going to be slightly involved, but not nearly as much as he was last year. And for me right now, I still have him projected as the wide receiver 9 in fantasy this season because of what he does is so unique. I believe he and Tyreek Hill are the two most unique offensive weapons in the NFL because they're guys that you can pretty much get the ball anywhere behind line of scrimmage, in front of, and they will get 10 plus yards almost every single time. And that kind of skill set for me, I find it so appealing. And I think that Kyle Shanahan does a great job of scheming him in best possible situations. Again, only 22% target share for Deebo Samuel, and I still have Brandon Ayuk with 21%, and you know, I've got 21 to George Kittle. So again, concentration of targets in this offense, being able to do all of those things. I do believe that Deebo is going to get up there. So for me, he's a must because I still think he'll finish in that top 10 range. But at 6, it's probably a little bit much. Like, I wouldn't take him as the 6th receiver off the board. How about that? Yeah. But I would still be drafting him in that range. So for me, it still is a must.
Yeah, I'm fully with you on that.
Okay. So the last topic we're talking about before we get into the quick fire section is the tight end position. And this is the most frustrating position to evaluate every single year. It's awful because tight end groups as a whole suck. They're awful. They don't score a lot of points. So let's talk a little bit about Mark Andrews, who had a career year last year, coming in to Baltimore once again. We're hoping to see Lamar Jackson be what he was. How does that impact Mark Andrews as the tight end 2 overall this year?
I mean, you spoke about tight ends and the position. It's not a lot of fun when it comes to fantasy. But the one thing you do know, these elite guys, these guys in the top 4, top 5, at least you know what you're going to get with these guys. Yeah. And Mark Andrews fits that. So the fact he's tight end 2, I'm more than happy to pay that. Yeah. I think he's a must. We know what a great tight end he's been. And that was with Marquise Brown there. Let's just talk about the fact that he's now not going to be over with the Ravens, obviously. Rashad Bateman, he showed flashes last year. He looks like being the wide receiver 1 over there. And I'm really excited for what he can do with Lamar Jackson. Yeah. But we know that connection, Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, what they have together, it's special. We know that Lamar Jackson, if you get near that red zone, you know he's looking for Mark Andrews. Yeah. And more often than not, Mark Andrews is coming down with the ball in the end zone. So yeah, it's hard not to be excited by Mark Andrews. I get that the price is high, obviously tight end 2, but you know, I just feel like he's the safest tight end probably in all of fantasy. I think he's probably the safest. Obviously Travis Kelce has been dominant year after year, but we know he's getting up there in age a little bit, and you always worry every year that is now going to be the year that Travis Kelce starts to slip away. And I mean, Mark Andrews dethroned him. It was the streak. It was like the WrestleMania streak with The Undertaker. Mark Andrews came in and ended that streak with Travis Kelce taking that tight end 1 spot. So yeah, I feel like you can't get safer than Mark Andrews, and he's a must for me, even at tight end 2, because you know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because for me, I will change my evaluation of a bust based on tight end, because the point the point system is so different, and the way that they come down and they finish is so different. So we know the top 4, typically the big 4, as we used to call them, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, and George Kittle, saturate the market. They separate themselves every year in points per game and to overall points. So I think 2 to 3 position points for tight end is much more realistic for a quote unquote bust. And I think that while I love Mark Andrews, I can't, for me, he's, I don't know if he's going to finish as tight end 2. I also can't say he's going to finish outside the top 4 because he's the best. So you have to be like, you have to start weighing the options. Like, do I want to take him? Do I want to wait? Like, it's so difficult with tight end, especially with these high guys. But again, you said it yourself. He's one of the safest guys. He's going to finish probably top 4. Regardless of what happens in that offense, we think they're going to take a step back in terms of the passing offense. The defense was so bad last year, they had to throw the ball all over the yard, something that Lamar Jackson and Brent Huntley aren't the best at doing, but it concentrates the targets once again on Mark Andrews. And when you're able to be third in yards per route run, and you're tied for second and your average depth of target 10.9. That's the big one for me. He's continuously targeted down the field, and those turn into touchdowns, especially with Lamar Jackson, who understands his game plan. So as much as I want to bust him, I can't, because he's so safe. It's irritating. Yeah.
No, to be honest, I think you made a great point there with tight ends that we didn't really speak about beforehand. But like you said, I feel like with tight ends, Mark Andrews could finish the tight end too and still be a bust, because what was he last year? Was he averaging like 16 fantasy points per game, 17 fantasy points per game?
Yeah,
if that fell down to say, I don't know, 13, 12, he could still end up being a tight end too, just because the position is so ridiculous. That he, but you class that as a bust, because obviously he's losing those fantasy points that we've been used to him getting. So yeah, tight end is so hard when it comes to bust. You could easily make a case for any of them being busted if just the production drops off. So I think you made a great point there.
Yeah, just for a little nugget here, in points per game, Mark Andrews was number one, 17.7. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, 16.4. Rob Gronkowski, 14. There's four tight ends that had 14 or more points per game, and George Kittle was the other one. Then it drops to 12. As Dalton, like, it's so volatile with points per game. And while Mark Andrews was the overall tight end one last year by like 40 points, don't get me wrong, he was great. And again, that is a career season, 9 touchdowns, over 1,300 yards. I don't think Mark Andrews is getting 1,300 yards this year. But again, we talk about such, again, more. The top four, 300 points, 262 points. And then from there, those two, it drops. Dalton Schultz with the tight end three to 208. That's 100 points from Mark Andrews to Dalton Schultz.
Tell me.
That's ridiculous. Tell me about it. So yeah, you can still technically bust as a tight end two or three because of the point system with tight ends is so nuts. And man, I didn't even realize that it was 100 points from Mark Andrews to Dalton Schultz, which is funny enough. The next guy we're going to talk about finished the tight end three last year and is currently being drafted as tight end six. This is another one that it will be interesting to see how we feel based on bust potential. But how do you feel about Dalton Schultz's potential in the Cowboys offense this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously in a really interesting situation this year. We know Amari Cooper's left the Cowboys now. So you feel like in terms of targets, I feel like Dalton Schultz is going to carry on seeing that workload that he saw last year. It was incredible to see him step up and be that guy at the tight end position last year. What he was able to do, I didn't see it coming. I know a lot of people thought that Blake Jarwin was going to be the guy over there with the Cowboys, and he was more the receiver, whereas Schultz was more the blocking tight end. But yeah, what he did, he surprised a lot of people. And is it going to be interesting with this one? Because it kind of boils down to a little bit what we've just been talking about with the point scoring. I just feel like that. He's never going to, I don't think he's ever going to get into that range when we're talking about guys like Kelce, Andrews, Kyle Pitts as well, obviously, a guy that we're all super excited by. But I just feel like he's going to be that solid. When it comes to tight ends in fantasy, the one thing you want is volume. If you're getting targets, if you're getting those completions, you're not going to be doing too bad at tight end. So tight end six is kind of in that range where there's maybe 4 or 5 guys that I'm happy to take in that range. So guys like Hockenson, I think it's going to get that kind of volume. So I'm going to say must, but I don't feel super excited about it because I just don't think he has that ceiling. But on the flip side of that, he's getting the volume, tight end. That's all you need really to be a solid low end tight end one in fantasy. So I'm going to say must, but he doesn't have that elite ceiling that the top end guys have.
Yeah, it's all about, for me, the PPR points for Dalton Schultz. It's not necessarily about the touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns last year. And when you have that much, he only had 800 yards. I think he can get over that this year too, which will help him out, especially with the concentration of targets. We all want Jalen Tolbert to be a thing in this offense, but we know Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb are going to be involved. They're going to throw the ball a lot. I mean, Tony Pollard as well. But again, the concentration of targets can get Dalton Schultz to that tight end 6, tight end 5 type of range. And again, you don't need him to be a top 4 guy. He doesn't have that in his range of outcomes this year. He just doesn't have it, or even top 5 depending on how they use George Kittle in San Francisco. We know Kyle Pitts is going to get to that point too if he just catches a couple touchdowns this year. That's all you got to do. So he's a must for me, but like you said, I don't feel good about saying I want to draft him at tight end 6. It's so weird. I could see, you know, Dallas Goedert finishing as tight end 6. Like I could see Kyle Pitts around there, Zach Ertz, again, all these guys that are all there, like they could all finish relatively there, and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. And it's just never fun to talk about Dalton Schultz in that way, because I'm going to have to run back over the film. I don't think he's a special player in terms of his after the catch ability, but the way that they use him in the offense is kind of a possession tight end and a touchdown catching tight end. I think that offers that tight end six floor upside type of thing for him. So go ahead and give him a must. All right. To end the show today, we're going to do a little bit of quick fire. All I want is I'm going to give you the player, and I want you to tell me. I don't want any explanation, just bust or must, and I'm going to do the same thing. So we'll start off with Dak Prescott, quarterback 8.
Ugh, pressure. Bust.
Must. Nick Chubb, RB 9.
Bust.
Must.
No.
It feels gross. T. Higgins, wide receiver 12.
Must.
Bust.
No. I mean, we're 3 for 3. This is going well.
AJ Brown, wide receiver 11.
Bust.
I'm gonna say must.
You just want to go against me now. Think...
now Hawkinson, tight end 7.
Must.
Must. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Okay. So Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, RB 6.
Bust.
Must. Last guy. Kyle Pitts, tight end 3.
Must, with confidence.
Must. It's not even close, guys. You have to draft. Just draft Kyle Pitts. Everybody, draft them if you can.
I mean, 2 out of 7 there, Holmes. I mean, that's some good going.
that's interesting. We got some different opinions. I like it, though. It keeps things spicy, so we're not all... I feel like you're always on the same page. People kind of tend to get bored at that. So I like it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Matt. It was a lot of fun. Please tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter and what you're working on next.
Yeah, so you can find me at MattFFDynasty on Twitter. I'm going to be doing some articles with the astronauts in season, hopefully again this year, so you can catch all my work over there with the astronauts. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for having me on, Harms. A lot of fun doing this. I mean, we kind of disagreed on quite a few guys, but like you said, that's the love of the game, isn't it, really? That's what you want. You want these different opinions. So been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome, man. I look forward to doing it again. Thank you all for being with us today. This is the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and we are blasting off again.